Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Across the ASEAN, only on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Across the ASEAN here on Money FM 89.3. Now, over the last few weeks, we've seen a series of fairly impressive second quarter GDP reports from across the region that saw certain major economies in Southeast Asia lifted out of recession officially. But that was then, and now we are seeing new challenges from stubborn resurgences of COVID-19 infections of the Delta variant threatening to thwart some of these gains. It also signs that manufacturers across the region may also be at risk of signs of peaking demand. To take stock of all of this, we're joined today across the ASEAN by HSBC's chief ASEAN economist, Mr. Joseph Incalcaterra. He joins us today to help us understand what their outlook is for Southeast Asia's major economies and how some of these new COVID risks might be risking their recent economic growth and gains for the rest of the year. Mr. Incalcaterra, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and good health during these times. And welcome to the show, sir. Hope you're having a good Wednesday so far.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So on the surface, when you look across the ASEAN, the second quarter GDP results impressed with strong year-on-year growth. Economies even beat median expectations from economists who cover these economies. A number of them, as we mentioned, also lifted out of recession. But with the resurgent COVID-19 infections, how dangerous is it now to read too much into some of these top-line numbers?
Sure. You know, it is important to mention that there was some upside surprise in the second quarter data. Part of that is because we see some signs of increasing consumer resilience in many parts of Southeast Asia. So even with some incremental restrictions still in place because of COVID, we find that consumers were able to shift more effectively to e-commerce, while at the same time, governments have gotten a lot better at delivering fiscal stimulus in a much more targeted and a much quicker way. So all of that has lent a lot of resilience to Southeast Asia. And at the same time, we did see the manufacturing sector and the export sectors do very well across the board, especially countries with a large exposure to the electronics industry, but also commodity sectors have all done relatively well. So 2Q, great growth coming from a low base. But unfortunately, you know, we would be a little bit cautious about expecting this to be sustained because we really know that it was in July when we saw a very bad resurgence of the Delta variant across Southeast Asia. So we're really it's shaping up to be a much more challenging third quarter given the sheer extent of lockdowns and restrictions.
Mm-hmm. And now, the thing is also, the question now is that if we start to see these economic gains derail, there's always that dreaded double-dip recession that many hope doesn't occur. However, with COVID-19 infections proving quite difficult to contain from countries, whether it be in Indonesia or the Philippines or Malaysia even, are any of the economies in the region now in danger of potentially falling into a double-dip recession based on what you're tracking, Joseph?
Yeah, there is indeed that risk. I mean, if you think about in the third quarter, many economies will probably see a consecutive contraction. Again, just given the extent of the restrictions, so in particular in places like Thailand and the Philippines, you saw a very big, sharp worsening of the COVID situation, especially in the month of August. So in terms of whether or not that sustains into the fourth quarter, to see maybe two consecutive quarters of contraction, a lot of it really depends on vaccination policies. And this is where there is a bit of divergence in the region. So we know, for example, Singapore has a very strong vaccination policy, should get to an 80% vaccination rate relatively soon. And that means that once we get to that threshold, the economy can sustainably reopen regardless of the COVID headwinds that come forward. And I think that's the same in Malaysia. Malaysia is going through a very difficult situation right now in the last few weeks. It's been a very, very stubborn wave of COVID. And of course, the political uncertainty, other factors aren't helping. But again, Malaysia has a very good vaccination program. And come October, they should get to that 70% hurdle. And that means policymakers can also open up more sustainably. But unfortunately, in other parts of the region, in particular in Thailand and the Philippines, it will really take quite some time until we get to an important vaccine threshold. So it's really not until next year when policymakers can keep the economy open for a sustained period. And unfortunately, that leaves the population vulnerable to the further development of the virus, including future mutations, which we might not know about yet.
And of course, that those vaccine thresholds seem to be a key monitor, not just for countries across the ASEAN, but across the world. So let's speak to Mr. Joseph Nkalkaterra, who's the chief ASEAN economist for HSBC here on Across the ASEAN. And Joseph, I want to shift our attention now to manufacturing, in fact, and the PMI numbers across the region. The impact of COVID-19 infections on the ability of manufacturing industries and various sectors to operate, whether it be Thai car plants to rubber glove makers in Malaysia, was severely felt in the last couple of months. Now, could this, coupled with a potential continued decline in new export orders, see the wind knocked out of ASEAN manufacturing? What are your thoughts on the potential risks of this getting even worse, or perhaps even rivaling COVID-19 infections in terms of its economic impact on sectors across the region?
Yeah, so for much of the pandemic, manufacturing sector was actually a very reliable engine of growth. And thanks to surging demand for electronics, different types of household goods in the West, That really was what was propelling many of these economies. Now, unfortunately, this latest wave, the Delta variant, was so vicious and so quick to spread that, many policymakers had to close a lot of exemptions for the manufacturing sector. So, for example, in Malaysia and Selangor in July, you saw, quite a big amount of disruption to plants that were forced to shut for at least 2 weeks, including semiconductor and, biomedical, such as, glove producers for a short period of time. Probably the biggest restriction that happened in Vietnam, where policymakers have put very strict curbs across Ho Chi Minh City and Hanoi, where we have a very large share of the country's manufacturing sector. And even though there's been some stopgap measures, some dormitories for workers, there still have been quite a bit of disruption. So the last one would be Thailand, where, like you mentioned, you are already seeing some signs of disruptions, even if maybe their lockdown policies are a little bit more flexible. So what we're seeing is a sharp deceleration to industrial production to export growth in July and August. But, we do think that policymakers will rush to get all this capacity back online relatively quickly. So all said and done, it will still be a relatively short disruption. But given Southeast Asia's very large presence in some supply chains, including some product goods, be it certain types of apparel from Vietnam, auto parts from Thailand, for example, there could be disruptions for consumers in the coming weeks.
Now, recent PMI figures, though, saw Singapore be a bit of an exception for manufacturing sectors across the ASEAN. And Singapore's PMI numbers continue to outperform the region and post sustained growth. We talked about the importance of vaccination rates, and Singapore, of course, as we know, outperforming much of the region by a country mile or two, Joseph. But again, this trend for Singapore's strong PMI figures was there even before vaccination rates here in Singapore picked up. Is there anything unique that's helped Singapore's manufacturing sector weather COVID storms better than other countries in the region outside of some of these vaccination rates?
This is a few factors. I mean, the biggest factor is just the structure of Singapore's export sector. Singapore is one of the largest semiconductor producers in the region, increasingly of, higher-end chips, such as what a company like Micron has been doing in investing in Singapore. You also have a very large pharmaceutical sector. At the same time, there's also a lot of firms that produce the machinery that go into producing semiconductors. And we know there's a capex boom across the world, actually, in terms of producing more chips. So Singapore is just very well positioned from an industry perspective. At the same time, the COVID disruptions have been relatively less pronounced compared to other countries. And, Singapore has been seeing a very strong FDI trend in recent years. Even in 2020, new commitments coming through into the economy. So it's really hard not to be optimistic still on Singapore's external strength in terms of exports, while at the same time you see a domestic economy that's also finally reopening in a sustained manner. So due to those factors, that's probably why Singapore has been outperforming. And generally speaking, we think that it's going to continue, especially as Singapore's government starts to hint that it will be a bit more flexible eventually with borders as well, allow Singapore to reopen to the world. And in an Asia that remains still very much closed, that's going to allow Singapore to set itself apart from the rest of the region.
All right. Joseph, I do want to touch on one final point, actually. And HSBC did note that there could be a sign that peak electronics may be behind the ASEAN space. Of course, this raises questions about whether or not global demand for electronics that rose big during the pandemic might actually be starting to plateau or even starting to simmer down. Why is that? And does this have more to do with electronic appetites indeed finally being quenched on a global scale?
I think we need to put this in context. I mean, there's been an incredibly long run in terms of very strong production of semiconductor electronics, the surge related from work from home, more need for PCs and other electronic gadgets. So, you know, then the fact that we're just seeing a little bit of cooling after such a strong period is to be somewhat expected, and it's not particularly worrying. If anything, a lot of semiconductor firms have also suggested that, you know, the surge in CapEx and a lot of the growth drivers for the industry will cool at some point. So we're still very positive over the longer term, but we are forecasting a little bit of deceleration in export momentum in the coming months.
All right. I'd like to thank Joseph in Calcaterra, the chief ASEAN economist for HSBC, for joining us today on Across the ASEAN here on Money FM 89.3 to talk about the possible economic risks for the region's largest economies and also some of the outlook, at least, for the manufacturing sectors in Southeast Asia. Joseph, as always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these uncertain times. We look forward to next time we can have you join us on the broadcast. Meanwhile, do stay safe, and we hope you have a great rest of the week ahead, sir.
Thank you so much. Same to you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.